Live at the Dive with WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio. It's local, cross-border, and worldwide online, WDIR.net. It's Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, Live at the Dive.
The opinions and views in the following program are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WDIR. WDIR.net, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right. I'm Big JD.
And I am Lippo.
And you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Because it is morning.
Yes, it is. Bright and early, 8 o'clock on Wednesday.
Wednesday. There's no H in Wednesday.
There's no... Wednesday would be something before the W, wouldn't it? Wednesday? Like a...
Right.
CH or something? A J?
As in Mexican J's?
J's, aren't they usually... H's. Like a Y?
No, L.
Oh, yeah,
two L's.
Yeah.
Two L's or a Y.
Yeah.
Jalapenos.
J-E-R. For Hernandez.
Sure.
No, that's not right.
What about Hernandez?
Actually does start with an H. Hernandez will start with an H. Hernandez.
Did you see?
Is it Hernandez or Hernandez?
Did you see the movie? Searching for...
Hernandez?
Sugarman.
Searching for Obama?
No, Searching for Sugarman.
No, what is that?
You haven't seen the movie?
No,
I haven't seen it either, but I got it right here on my iPad.
You do?
I'm going to watch it today.
Oh, wow. Where are you going to watch it?
I'm going to watch it at work.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know.
Going to watch movies at work.
It's a, what do you call that when you're not really
juxtaposition.
No.
Did you like that?
It's a hullabaloo.
Halava.
It's a kerfuffle.
Kerfuffle? Is that something? Wow, that's for the Splendid Word Show.
Splendid Word.
Splendid is another, you know. Wow.
No, back to searching for the Sugar
Man. We are killing us here. We are killing us.
Yes, we are.
So back to the Sugar Bear.
Sugar Man. Searching for Sugar Man.
Okay, yeah.
I went to California.
Yeah.
I stayed with a guy who is from South Africa.
Okay.
You know, there was a big thing in South Africa, the apartheid, and the blacks rose up. And,
yeah, yeah.
Well, they had music that they were listening to while they were doing this, and the music they were listening to was Hernandez. And this Hernandez guy, they thought he was dead, that he killed himself on stage. So, but he was like some kind of folk hero, and he had some solid tunes, and this was like the anthem for the apartheid movement.
Right.
It was his music.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, the dude is living right over here in Mexican town, in ghetto land, living in squalor and poverty and having a hard life of it. Meanwhile, he's like the hero guy in South Africa for this rise up of...
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I've yet to watch it, but like I said, my buddy...
did you get to hang out with the guy?
Hernandez?
Yeah.
No, I hung with the guy who's from South Africa.
Okay.
But our buddy Glenn Fricker also had mentioned the movie in his Facebook feed as well. Mm-hmm. So I know he had seen it as well. So just so you know, that's...
yeah, I want to see the film now. How'd you get the film?
How did I
mean, it's a full documentary?
Full documentary, yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I didn't get it from Glenn Fricker because that would have been just wrong.
Of course.
Yeah, we wouldn't do that.
No, of course not. So, and I won't get it from you, so.
That's right, because that would be wrong as well.
Absolutely.
Piracy is a bad thing.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Okay, well, this is the funnest thing in the news. The former Grace Hospital, Windsor's most infamous eyesore, could be quickly replaced with a multi-million-dollar Orthodox church and community center once it's demolished.
What kind of Orthodox? Like Greek Orthodox?
Yes. Yeah, Greek Orthodox.
Church.
Yeah, church and complex.
Oh, it's going to be a complex. It'll probably be school there and...
Well, more than 1,000 members of Windsor's tight-knit Greek Orthodox community have been invited to a special meeting on February 24th And that'll be to vote on a City of Windsor proposal to swap a large industrial site they own on Walker Road for the derelict hospital. And if the church congregation agrees, Windsor's most visible blight could be replaced with a mid-sized church, soccer fields, and community center.
Wow.
In short order, like right away. They want it done this year.
So then the place on Walker Road that the Greek Orthodox Church owns now is going to be the long-term
They're going to build a rundown hospital that's never used there.
No, we need beds. Seriously, it's a serious problem.
Of course we do. Aren't the hospitals supposed to merge as well? Somebody told me that. The hospitals are going to merge and they're only going to have one facility, and that's not possible.
Well, it's going to be a huge, big
thing. It'd have to be. They'd have to move the one building and put it on top of the other one.
No, the existing buildings will stay there, but they're going to build another huge hospital somewhere.
And then what about the existing buildings? It'll all be part of one. I think it'll either be Hotel Du,
Grace be Hospital. Or, they'll probably specialize
what's
in
the something. Other hospital? IODE?
What?
Or what's the other hospital?
Well, the Western.
What?
On Prince Road.
Windsor Western?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Windsor Western. That's okay. Exactly what it's called. Yeah. So that's awesome that they're going to put something...
wait, Hotel Du Grace... Oh, the other... Yeah, but the other hospital is... That's part of one of the... That's part of Grace, isn't it? Or part of the Windsor Regional? Because there's Windsor Regional here on the east side.
It's all Windsor Regional.
What it all is?
Every hospital in Windsor is all Windsor Regional Hospital.
Yeah, but
there's the Hotel Du Grace. There's the Windsor Western Campus, and then there's the Metropolitan.
Yeah, but they're not all...
they're all part of the same thing, yeah. It's all one hospital administration, yeah.
When did that happen?
A few years ago. Zibuda.
Da-da-doom. Hey, what are we talking about on the show today?
Today we're going to talk about acoustic instruments.
Wow.
How does that sound? I'm going to guess that
how
I'm
does
the guy.
It sound? He made it funny.
I'm the guy in the bottom, I'm going to guess, right?
You are the guy in the bottom, yeah.
Right, okay.
Well, I may have had to have you up louder, but that's irrelevant.
I know.
Pay no attention to those waves behind the form.
If I sound different, it's because I don't have my PR40 in front of my face.
Yeah. I don't know that nobody... Could the average person tell?
Average anyway? Person, no.
Right.
But the people who listen to this show... Not average people.
But also, we're running through software that will even us out. So that doesn't, it's irrelevant that one is a little bit louder than the other, but you'll obviously sound a little bit different than having your Heil microphone.
Exactly.
Which are awesome. I'd like some more Heil microphones.
For what?
I don't know.
Just want them in the house?
Yeah. Well, like if I had another Heil, then you'd be on another Heil. Even if it wasn't the PR40.
Right.
The 30, the 20.
I want one of these though, right here.
What?
Boom.
Yeah.
Give me the boom.
Well, we're gonna work that out when we build the new facility, because we're gonna be building an actual studio
right next to the Greek Orthodox Church.
Yeah, I wish I had that much land. Oh, you didn't even do any news.
Well, we're not really stuck for time because we're not gonna have an interview.
That's right. Not today. No, you talking to me today on the show. Yeah. Okay.
That's all right. It's Monday that we're actually recording
this
show.
Did you have something that you wanted to talk about?
Nothing really. Okay. Nothing really pressing. Right.
Nothing. Once you hear the story about the the former Grace Hospital and the Greek Orthodox Church, there's nothing compares anyway. So
I work with Mark Dana, which you know the guy.
Of course I do.
Yeah, and he's kind of like the neighborhood spokesperson.
We dated. We used to date.
Did you?
Yeah. But that's for another show. Love and relationships.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by that news.
Why?
Because I know you're gay.
Well, I'm not anymore.
Dana turned you around. But anyway, Mark, you hear him on, he's on Channel 9 and on a CKLW when they talk about the Grace Hospital and they want to get the feel of what the neighborhood is thinking as far as what's going on there. Mark is an outspoken kind of person. So I'm kind of interested to find out what his take on this announcement. So they're going to be meeting tonight. The Greek Orthodox?
The 24th.
Oh, the 24th. Okay. Because today is Monday as we record this, and it's, what do they call it? City Council night.
There you go.
All the councilors get together.
And council.
Well, they discuss all the issues that have to do with the city. People bring issues to the table, and they vote on stuff, and, you know.
And we have a few shows on that kind of stuff here on Tuesdays on WDIR, so... Check them out.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, kicking you in the face.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net. Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasborowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense. Shantoon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at Shantoon.com, Shontoon.com. If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit omsentertainment.com.
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor, Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
Hi there, everybody. This is Mike LaPlante, and you're listening to Mike Talks Tech. This week on the show, we're going to be talking about scanning. Now, I remember my first experience with a scanner. It was a handheld ordeal, and I remember it probably cost, $250, $300, and it was a rather rudimentary device. It was, about 4 inches wide. And you had to scan a page twice, a printed document page. You had to go down the left-hand side and then down the right-hand side and make sure that you had some overlap in there. And I'm not sure what it was about it. I know I was an early adopter, and I had a scanner probably before anybody else that I knew had a scanner. And I don't know what it was about it. It was just the idea that I could take a page that was already printed out and put it on my computer, and then possibly even edit that page using some optical character recognition software, which at the time was just horrendous. It had about a, 60% accuracy rate, if that. And so you were able to, you were able to edit the document after you scanned it into your computer, into the software. And I soon realized that it was probably faster for me to actually type out a new document as opposed to scanning it and putting it in there and trying to edit it later. But I just loved the idea of taking something analog, like a printed piece of paper, and having that then have some kind of digital representation on my screen. Now, these handheld scanners, they had a, you turned it on and a light had to come on, and you had to scan pretty straight down the line, so down the page, I should say, and it had to be somewhat in a straight line because your next pass had to be pretty accurate as well, so that the scanning software recognized where the overlap was. And it usually did actually a pretty good job of understanding what, you know, what characters were being duplicated. And well, it wasn't actually characters at the time. It was an image. It basically captured an image of your page using this this handheld scanner. Now, the technology behind scanners hasn't changed much at all, actually, and that technology is CCD technology, and that stands for a charged coupled device, and that's just a piece of silicon that is inside these scanners that basically take pictures of whatever it sees. And these CCDs, of course, are found in the cameras that we buy today. You know, the highest end DSLR cameras use CCD technology now.
However, these CCDs have now come such a long way, and the resolution is just amazing. But the technology definitely is the same. Now, this is not to discount where scanners came from before that. There were other types of scanners before the handheld CCD type. There were drum scanners, and they used a totally different technology behind those. They used actual optics. You know, glass was used, and they were a drum was used as well to capture these images. But of course, that has nothing to do with anything that we're familiar with right now. I just want to stay focused on the type of scanners that, you know, that we use on our computers, basically. The kind of scanner that you can scan something and then you put it on your computer and then you either OCR it, that's optical character recognition, if it's a document, or if it's an actual image, we could bring it into some type of photo editing image software and dazzle it up or do whatever we want afterwards. Now, with the flatbed scanner, this is usually composed of a glass pane, sometimes referred to as a platen, under which there is a bright light. Now, this light is usually a xenon or a cold cathode fluorescent. Lighting is very important in scanning using CCDs. This, of course, lights the pane of glass, and a moving optical array of CCDs scan your image. CCD type scanners typically contain three rows of sensors, and that's of course the array, and the three rows contain the primary colors of digital light, and that of course is RGB, not to be confused with the primary colors that we know of red, blue, and yellow. I had to think about it there for a second. When we talk about the colors that are created from our displays, those three colors are red, green, and blue that make up every other color. Whereas if we were to like use paint or colored pencil or whatever on a piece of paper, those primary colors are, of course, blue, red, and yellow. I remember the first flatbed scanner that I got, I believe was a UMAX scanner, and it would pass, if you wanted a color image as a result of your scan, which, you know, you could choose either grayscale or color. And the handheld scanner that I had, of course, was just grayscale. There was no color involved, and it was designed specifically for the scanning of text. And the UMAX scanner I had, of course, would pass three times, and it would, of course, pass once for the red, once for the green, and once for the blue. And oftentimes, the results that came from that, depending on the image quality of the photo that you were scanning in the first place, it varied quite a bit. Now, like I say, the lighting is extremely important part of scanning, because the lighting has to be consistent over every single pixel. And of course, back in the day, the pixels on the CCDs were pretty large. The resolution was rather poor, and the density of the pixels was not dense at all. It was the opposite of dense, rather fluffy and loose, as it were. And so the quality of each pixel, you could tell the difference between now and then, that's for sure. And so the lighting, of course, was extremely important, and that's why they usually use these xenon or cold cathode fluorescent lights, which were not cheap. If the light went in your scanner, it was not a good thing, because it would cost you a pretty penny, and it usually was a large portion of the expense of your scanner. For the most part, the flatbed scanners, even of today, they're just basically a housing, a motor, and a belt that runs the CCD back and forth along with the bulb that's in there. Now, I find that scanning was one of those technologies that never really had wide mass appeal. The idea of scanning, for a lot of people, just they didn't even know what it was for. However, there were people out there, such as photographers, I know, they would want to take their prints and then bring them into some type of photo editing software on their computer and then, you know, maybe fix them up or just to archive them there. And I think a lot of people, or photographers especially, realized that digital was the way to go and they'd like to have a digital copy of their photos on their computer and, you know, store them that way to have, you know, some kind of backup. And but I found that, like, I know my sister, she was a pretty decent photographer. She still is a pretty decent photographer. She has, you know, lots of glass and she takes nice photographs. And I know that she bought a scanner, but I know that once she bought it, learned how to use it, she realized that the whole process of scanning was a bit of more of a hassle than it was really worth. It was akin to ripping your music off of your vinyl. You know, you take your vinyl and you have to listen for the silence in between the tracks and start a new file every time. It was tedious in that way for her, I know. And just for her to get her images onto her computer was, it seemed like a lot more trouble than it was really worth. And then once she had them on there, she wasn't really compelled to, you know, go into some type of software and either, you know, resize them or repurpose them or even do any kind of archiving with her photos, because I think she just found it to be too much of a work thing. Too much work was involved in getting her images that she had already printed out back onto her computer. So there was that issue. And even when scanner makers, that sounds funny, even put this, once the technology was integrated into printers via multifunction printers, even most people do not use their scanner on those devices for scanning images in there and for, you know, using the images in some type of software. Most people use the scanning functionality of their multifunction printers just for the copier aspect of it. You know, they'll put a document on the bed there and just copy images or copy documents right on the printer there, and you rarely bring images into their computer and edit them. Having said that, there are some great things that you can do with your scanner. You can put documents into a scanner and then turn those documents into PDFs, which you can then repurpose, send them out, or even edit them afterwards, after you've scanned them. And you can scan, you know, business cards and have those business cards get put into contact lists. And there's a whole bevy of functions that you can use your scanner for making your life just easier and more paperless, as it were. Now, of course, the days of flatbed scanners hogging up a whole bunch of space on your desk are pretty much over. You can buy scanners now that have very little footprint on your desktop, or you can even buy extremely portable scanners as well. I own a SnapScan S1100, and it's a very portable device. It's as long as a document is wide, and it's self-feeding. You just feed the documents into it, and you can determine whether you want that document to be a PDF, a JPEG, have the PDF get sent to your Dropbox. If it's business cards you're scanning, you can have those automatically sent to your contact application if you want. And the accuracy of OCR software these days is pretty close to 100%. So you can scan and then edit documents that you've brought in and then repurpose those for other things as well. Now, we may revisit the topic of scanning again in a future show. However, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next week on Mike Talks Tech.
Hey, this is Jody Raffool, and you're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive, the local dive, visit WDIR.net. Let's get it straight.
You're not fooling me. Okay, so finally, now we'll probably get into today's topic, which is acoustic instruments.
As opposed to?
Electric instruments.
Electric instruments, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. Or electronic instruments.
Okay, is that a more proper term?
No.
Electric or electronic?
Well, you have electric guitars, you have...
And then you have electronic guitars. It doesn't even sound right.
No, you don't have electronic guitars. You have dudes who are, you know, wicka wicka woo!
Okay.
You know, what's his name? Deadmau5.
DJ style stuff. Yeah, yeah. Electronic music.
Yeah.
That's more referred to as maybe music and not so much an instrument, electronically. But electric.
Sure.
An instrument. So, electric guitar, which is it an acoustic instrument in any way? It's still wood. It's not hollow or anything like that, but could you, you could still use it acoustically if you wanted to, I guess.
Sure.
Some way. What about just miking it? Mic it and record it.
Mic an electric guitar?
Yeah.
Just hear the strings coming off the...
Yeah, resonating.
See, don't resonate. That's the issue. You don't get all the same...
No, you don't get the same resonation.
Resonation.
There you go. Yeah. Wow. Resonation. You pulled that right out of my hat and had to think there for a second.
He comes from the resonation.
First time I used a real word. A big boy word. So, yeah. Electric acoustic instruments. And electric instruments that are made to sound like acoustic instruments. Right, the Parker Fly. For example,
Parker Fly has a very it sounds acoustic in so much that it is has a pickup the same way as acoustic. A lot of acoustic guitars use pickups on their instruments as well, which is called a piezo pickup.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them use an individual pickup for each string, and some have one that just is one pickup and it picks it all up underneath the saddle or the bridge area there.
Right. I have a Martin Thin Line in my 69 Gibson J50. Yes.
Beautiful guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Is it here?
Rare these days. Yeah.
It's rare these days, so they don't make them anymore?
Well, they absolutely don't make them anymore, but they're you don't see them all that much. So you got to search them out if you want one.
Gibson still makes acoustic guitars, though, do they not?
Absolutely do.
But they just don't
expensive.
Make
expensive. No, they don't make J50 anymore.
So what do they call their guitar that looks similar to the J50, the same dreadnought style?
Don't know. There's nothing really that looks exactly like that, but they have, I want to say they still maybe make stopped making the J45 as well, which is a little bit smaller version. And now they have all kinds of different names for their acoustic guitars. The Hummingbird and the Songbird and
the Hummingbird has been around just as long as the J50, has it?
I don't know how long those have been around.
A long time.
Jay at LaSalle Music had old blues style, a couple of them, old Gibson acoustic guitars, when I was last in there.
Blues style meaning that the strings are way up high and you play
slide
on it?
No, but just blue. The cuts are really deep in them. And I don't know what the real difference is in wood or sound and whatnot, but...
Okay.
I knew more back in the day, like maybe when I got that or whatever, and really studied up on them, but...
Sure, you want to know
that all
you
gets
got.
Lost over time.
Well... We put new stuff in, we take old stuff out.
Yeah, we got to make way. With the old and in with the new, I say.
But there's a lot of electric or acoustic guitars that are now able to, you can plug them in. And in fact, I'm going to say it's like more than 30% of acoustic guitars you see in a music store are, you can plug them in.
Sure. For example, the Ovations.
Kind of a acoustic guitar that was specifically designed for being plugged in
to be electric,
yeah, because it sounds poopy when it's just in the air.
They do. They're on the. They kind of sound thin. They're primarily, well, there's a wood front, but plastic backs.
Plastic back, and it's not a very deep body as well.
This is Freewheeling from Psycho. You're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. Broadcasting live at the Dive, the local Dive, located in McKinney Plaza at 13169 Tecumseh Road East in Tecumseh.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit 4, the number 4, on the floor.ca. Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients. Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty. I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option. If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Okay, we are back.
Talking about acoustic instruments.
Yes, we are. And so far, primarily acoustic guitars.
Right. Well, you got to start somewhere with the most popular thing. I'm in an acoustic act called Tres Cajones, and our drummer is now becoming like a percussionist.
Right.
Because he has all these different things that he uses to keep time, basically.
Oh, he's pulling out all the stops now, bringing some extra. Does he have a kick at all or anything, or is he just using the cajon?
It's a cajon.
That's right. I'll never remember that.
It's a box. You sit on it. The front board, which I want to call the soundboard, is usually made out of some nice resonating material, or wood, I should say. And behind that is some strings that give it that kind of snare sound when you hit it in a very specific...
So it's not just a box.
It's not just a box, no.
A cajon is not just a box.
No, and you can tighten those strings to make them looser, or, you know, same with...
And those strings, are there different size strings inside? No. Are they...
No, they look like a D string on a guitar. Like
so they don't... I mean, hitting it in one spot, getting some bottom end, and hitting up at the top, is that only because of the box factor and the...
It's the top box factor, the box, yeah. So, whatever? Yeah, so the strings are tighter and closer at, near the top, and then they kind of taper.
Oh, they fan out kind of thing.
Yeah, they fan out, exactly.
Yeah, I see.
So you get when you hit that bass sound, you don't hear the strings as much, but you definitely get a nice thud sound.
Right. Okay.
Excuse me. So that's the cajon, but he also has lots of other, you know, like wooden, like a little stick over a squash thing.
Those aren't so much to keep time, I don't think, as they are to add a little flavor to the songs, perhaps, or something, maybe?
Well, with that specific instrument, it is to keep time because he can't do anything else with his hands, and he's the timekeeper of the thing.
But
thing that I think that is key to keeping the time is he has a foot tambourine.
Okay, yeah.
It's
just
like
a tambourine, or is it a special foot tambourine?
It's a special foot tambourine.
Because I see some guys just tap on a regular tambourine.
Sure, and that's the way he started.
So does he consider himself a musician now with all these gadgets?
As opposed to being just a drummer.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Of course.
Does he play other instruments at all? Does he play guitar?
Yeah, he plays guitar.
Okay.
Most drummers can play guitar.
Yeah, they have to eventually if they want to really make music, right?
It's hard to practice being a drummer, I think. Unless you got tunes just cranking, right?
Or you got an electronic drum kit.
And then what?
Well, then you put headphones on and music. You can run music through the,
right?
You know, that kind of thing.
That is a great practicing thing because, one, you don't kill your neighbors.
Right.
And two, you can mix this music in to your head equally with your drums.
But we're not talking about electric music, electronic instruments.
No, we're not. We're talking about
acoustic. We're talking about, what about things like the recorder?
Reed instruments?
Yeah, reed instruments. Reed-based. Is that considered an acoustic instrument?
Of
course. Wind instruments and what else? Well, string, like the guitar, I guess. Okay, so wind and string. And what else? Are there any other types of acoustic instrument?
Well, other than what we were just talking about, like percussive instruments are acoustic as well.
Percussive, stringed, wind, and what's the... kazoo is a wind instrument,
kazoo.
I guess. Yeah.
But it's a reed based thing. It's a wind thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you blow air through it.
They actually have a reed, or do they have just some other kind of sound?
It's a piece of tissue paper.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Not really tissue paper, but whatever, that thin film of whatever that vibrates on the plastic. I got a kazoo in my car. I should have brought it up. You got probably got one here, don't
played
you?
It.
Do you have one here?
No, I don't.
The kazoo is a great instrument, I think.
Yeah. You don't have to know anything about music to... Well, it's like humming a tune, basically.
It's like humming, yeah. So if you can hum in tune...
Well, that's right. I guess you have to be in tune.
You have to
I
be
guess
in
you
tune.
Gotta be in tune. You have to be in tune. Of course you gotta be in tune.
And if you can hum it, there's this very specific range, and if you can hum it, the kazoo will sound really good. It's really good for solos as well.
Hi, this is Mo Rotundi coming to you live down at WDIR.net, live from the dive down here in Tecumseh. We're going to have a little lunch. They got great food down here, so check it out always. WDIR rocks! This is Mo Rotundi from Destroyer, the ultimate Kiss tribute. Walks by moonlight.
And speaking of Kiss tribute, Mo Rotundi there, the bass player from
Destroyer. The Canadian version of Destroyer. I saw an American version of Destroyer.
Yeah, I think there's probably even more than two, but...
Maybe three.
Kiss did an acoustic album, that MTV Unplugged thing. So a lot of bands are actually doing acoustic performances.
Well, the MTV thing, yeah, that was like a fad.
That was cool, though.
It was all very good, yeah, you know.
Nirvana did that.
Nirvana.
Who else did that?
Eric Clapton.
Mm-hmm. Lots of bands, I'm sure.
A lot of bands did the Unplugged thing. That's what it was called, Unplugged.
MTV Unplugged, that's right.
Right. Yeah. And you weren't allowed to use any... Yeah, everything had to be mic'd, basically.
Yeah.
So you could play drums, but you... Yeah, so...
But I like the idea of the cajon and what you guys do. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Which I'll be able to see here at the local dive, actually. You guys got a date coming up.
April 5th.
Right. April 5th, almost a month after the Jeffrey David's Blues Connection plays here. But we won't be doing acoustic style this time.
You're going to be rocking it out.
Full electric.
Awesome.
Yeah. Should be cool.
But you don't want to see us. You want to actually hear us.
Right.
Actually, if
I want to see you and hear you.
It's best if you just sit at the bar and face the bartender.
And just listen.
Yeah. It's going to be good because we're just, you know... Middle-aged cojones, guys.
Tres
cojones.
So yeah, that'll be cool. A lot of acoustic acts play here, actually, and I get to see a bunch of very different variations of the acoustic bands. Some will just play a guitar, some have the snap on the tambourine, some have a acoustic drummer with them with a bunch of, you know, I've seen some with a little foot pedal with a plastic thing hitting something. Pop. For bass drum type thing.
There are kicks.
Hitting pads.
For the cajon.
Yeah.
So instead of having
that might have been what he,
hit with his right hand, you just use your right foot to hit the, it's like a bike brake thing, you know?
Yeah.
A little wire runs through it.
I like the idea of the cajon thing. Did you get a cajon yet? Are you considering getting a cajon?
I was considering getting one, but.
Because I've been thinking about it, but what would I do with it?
I was also considering getting a 3/4 acoustic as well.
3/4?
3/4.
A little one?
A little one.
How come?
They're portable for one thing. They're not very expensive either. Taylor makes one, which is called the Big Baby.
Yeah, but portable, they can't be all that much smaller than...
They're 3/4 size.
Yeah, 3/4 is just 1/4 short of full.
That's right.
Why not just bring the big one around?
Yeah.
Instead of fumbling around your fingers on smaller frets. Just cart your little ukulele around.
Mm-hmm.
You play that much?
I play the ukulele, yeah.
Yeah. Do you play it when you do the show? Are we going to see some ukulele?
You're going to see some uke, yeah.
Wow. Just you? Or is Dan going to play ukulele too?
Dan doesn't know how to play ukulele.
No?
Well, no, it's only for real musicians.
Okay, yeah.
Actually, the ukulele is a very easy instrument. It uses a lot of the same chord shapes as a guitar, but they're different chords. Oftentimes, I find myself... You know,
I still don't understand
you. You go G, C, D, and it's like the same shape as A, C, and something else. And you're like, oh, geez, I'm using the guitar shit, you know,
right.
Fingering. And so.
I just learned what I need to when I got to do something on it. And then after that, it's gone. And I've used and recorded a ukulele a number of times for stuff. Yeah. And
go check out Big JD on YouTube for the Bushman ukulele contest.
Oh, that's right. You can still find that stuff. I don't know what it's under. It might be under like Jeffrey David or something on YouTube, but there's Monkey's remake of I'm a Believer and Golden Days, which I wrote for my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And those were both for the competition. I think that's probably it. Somehow, somewhere, there's another site online that has a few of my ukulele song, like just
yeah,
it's audio, but yeah, I never did get the ukulele. Can't even tune it. No idea. Couldn't restring it if I had to.
Who restringing? I never restring.
Yeah, they're all messed up.
Well,
it's one's just big and then a small one. It's like somebody just threw it together and like well, yeah, just put them on and whatever, and then that's the instrument.
No, that
doesn't even make any sense, does it?
Yeah, it does make sense. Okay. Go to the C to the G to the E to the A.
Hey, to the C to the G to the G to the A. Sounds the like some kind of
rap song.
Yeah.
Kid Rock.
Is that he does something like that?
I think so. Bull God dude.
Another guy that does some acoustic stuff?
Sure.
Like everybody's doing these days?
Absolutely. What else? Who else did an acoustic album that I was really surprised to hear that it actually was a thing?
While you're thinking about that, Andy McGee is a... Andy McKee, I think. Keith with a K or whatever. Very good acoustic guy. He does that drift style acoustic playing and tapping on the guitar and everything. Plays some really weird guitars too. If you look him up on YouTube actually and see and watch him play, it's pretty neat.
I hope that he's making a lot of money because I know a lot of people know of Andy McKee.
Yeah, his stuff is like everywhere, but I think he's posted like absolutely everything. You know what I mean? It's him in like some kind of studio playing and whatever. But you know, he's viral. But whether he's got any money or not, I don't know. He's only got a couple of CDs out, I think, anyway.
I hope so for his sake. Because, you know, you get guys
he's good.
Like...
really good.
The Gangnam Style guy, like, you know, he's got like 13 million or whatever it is. Almost a billion. I don't know how many views that video's got. Obviously, that guy made some cash.
Is that the...
Yeah. It's that guy. Big JD just rode a horse with his hands.
I don't even get it all.
I don't get it either, but, you know, it's good on him.
Is that all he's ever done? Is that one thing? Or is there an album or something like that?
No, I think he's a relatively famous. He's like Anne Murray over in South Korea.
Wow.
Or the Tragic Lead.
Anne Murray. Yeah.
Or the Guess Who.
I'm trying to think of something Anne Marie did, but she's really good. I know that. Canadian. Anne Murray? Yeah. Superstar.
She's a Canadian music royalty.
Yeah. What is a couple of her big songs? Yeah, you know, they're always like, you know them, but you just can't think of them.
Right, I can't think of a title,
and
sorry.
There's a bunch of big hits by her that other and people I'm covered, too.
And I don't think she wrote many tunes herself.
No, I thought she was a singer-songwriter.
Yeah?
I thought she was.
But okay, she sounded like she...
She's still alive? And if she is, why isn't she putting anything out?
It's the Anne Marie Death Watch.
That's because she can't write. So if Anne Marie wants to give me a shout.
It's not Marie. It's Anne Murray.
Anne Murray, yeah. Like, okay, I want to say.
Like Murray Hill in I know, New York.
Donnie and Murray.
Donnie Marie Osmond?
Yeah. Anne Murray, yes.
Murray. Mm-hmm. Mary, like the bagel guys.
Murray's Bagels. Murray's... Ooh, and I wouldn't do for one of those.
When are we going?
Summer.
Spring. Oh, okay, I was going to say
maybe we get there in the summer. Lana's going to Europe for a few months or whatever. So
she is.
Or how long is she going for? Maybe a month.
Let's go then.
Maybe, yeah. I got a lot of work coming this summer, so I'll have to see when I could do it, but I could probably go. We could
have the whole month of July off.
Yeah, New York for a weekend and have bagels.
I'm looking forward to it. A little bit of J&R and
it's,
some.
It's how we're going to get there is B&H. The deal breaker.
Yeah, I'm not going to take your Jeep. You got to have some.
We're not. We're going to take your car.
Take my car. That's fine.
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
I don't know. It's so low to the ground and stuff. I don't think I could ride in a car again with this back.
I don't know.
I don't know. What's the difference?
Between what?
The car and the Jeep.
Well, the Jeep rides like a truck. And wow. For a long drive.
We can drive over stuff to get there. Hey, there's a car in the way. Don't worry about it.
I got this.
But yeah. But yeah, it's not one way or another, we'll go there.
Take a train if you want.
I just don't think a train. It takes like 3 days.
Does it?
Yeah.
How come?
Although it might be fun. I think it takes a long time. Like it takes about 30. Well, it's probably straight through for the most part, or maybe a stop for a couple hours or something somewhere. But it's like 30 some hours, which is a long trip.
No. Well, let's like drive to Buffalo, hop on a train in Buffalo, and then just take the train into New York City.
Yeah. Well, we'll look into that.
I'm in.
That wouldn't be too bad. Buffalo's only like 4 hours away, right?
Yep.
That's not too bad.
Nope.
Can handle that because I can't stand driving either. Yeah, don't want to drive. Don't want to fly.
Don't want to live.
I don't want to live no more. That's a good name for a song. Don't want to live.
You don't think there is a song called I Don't Want to Live?
Well, I don't know. I want to live.
That's, I want to live.
Ramones.
The Ramones. I want to live. I want to live my life.
You know that song? No. It's on Ramones Mania. I don't know the real album it's from, but But I have that too, but I just can't remember. Getting young.
Getting young. Then there's Live It Up.
That's Kiss. Live It Up. No, it's, that's Lick It Up.
Ted Nugent. I actually saw the video. Just
oh,
like,
want to live it up.
Derek St. Holmes is on a YouTube video, and it's called Trading Licks. And he talks about how he wrote that song. He was just doing the Bo Diddley beat. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. Yeah.
And then he just changed. He just added another chord at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like a little A thing or
everything
something.
Everything comes from somewhere, doesn't it?
Exactly. And Ted just started rocking out this Bo Diddley thing, which I would have never thought Live It Up was a Bo Diddley tune.
No, no. What you should have brought up here.
Brought up here.
Which you should have brought into the studio today was your... harmonica. Because there's another awesome acoustic instrument.
It is the only wind instrument that you can blow and draw on and create music.
Oh, really? Does it come with markers?
Well, there's numbers on them.
Oh, draw. Okay, I get it.
Does it come with markers? No, it comes with crayons.
So by drawing, you mean sucking.
Yeah, I don't want to use the word suck.
Of course you don't.
Because harmonica
this is
players,
radio. You can't swear on radio.
Harmonica players do not suck. We draw.
Yeah. Some of them do.
Yes. And I have to admit, I've been sucking.
And no, drawing. I didn't mean you, but again, another instrument where I kind of get something down where I need to record something and whatnot, but I'm not all that much of a harmonica player.
It is. It's like the ukulele. It's not really difficult.
No, they're easy instruments to play, and... it can be very fun.
Yeah, you can get by with
as a hobby
with just thing. The basic thing, but you should really learn how to blow and draw into one hole. That's the hardest part I find is learning and to blow and draw in just one
hole. At the same time.
No, you can't do it at the same time, but seriously, if you can just blow and draw from just one hole.
If you could blow out of like one side of your mouth and draw with the other side, that would be pretty amazing. You'd probably get some really neat sounds out of the harp.
Sure. And there are
or get two people on it.
There is a technique where you do use both sides of your mouth. If you're, I don't know if you're making a joke about that.
Yeah, no, I'm more making a joke about it. Yeah. Tell us about the technique, though.
Basically, you take your tongue and you block two holes, and then you blow out the side and you blow into the two holes that are on either side of those two holes.
Okay. Something I've done and not really thought about it being such a technique, but yeah,
that's how you blow octaves.
Mm-hmm.
Can you draw octaves? Of course you can. Yes, you draw octaves as well. So. That's what I have to say about as far as harmonica.
What is the technique of just licking the harmonica and not blowing at all?
Magic dick on a licking stick.
Whoa. And you didn't want to say sucking? That, of course, referring to Jay Giles' band.
Jay Giles, yeah.
Really?
Peter Wolf.
Magic dick. And what did Magic Dick do after?
He went into porn.
No, he didn't go into porn, did he?
He did not go into porn. I saw him a couple years ago in Toronto at a harmonica...
out at Eaton's.
No, he wasn't out in the front of Eaton's. He was at the Million Dollar Saloon. Is that what they call it? Million Dollar Saloon? No, Silver Dollar.
Silver Dollar.
And it's like a blues club. And he was there with a bunch of other harmonica dudes.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Oscar Wilde. Lee Oscar. And
Lee Oscar actually made harmonicas.
Yep. And, well, he was the guy in War, the band War. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Portnoy was there as well, who played with Muddy Waters and Eric Clapton. And Carlos Del Junco was also there.
Whoa. What about the other guy there from Toronto? Doesn't he play harmonica too?
Chuck Jackson.
Okay. Maybe I'm thinking of Danko Jones, but doesn't play any harmonica?
He may.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Who's the guy that you saw that a big guy from Toronto came down to Windsor play at some point?
A harmonica guy?
I think so.
Carlos Del Junco, yeah.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, he's from Toronto.
Right.
In fact, he drove his bike to that gig.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Rode it, you mean?
But he wasn't in the gig. He just came because there's a bunch of harmonica guys playing, so he...
Oh, to the one in Toronto you're talking
yeah.
about?
Yeah.
Okay. I just happened to look.
I remember listening to Magic Dick, and I just happened to turn to my right to see where my wife was or something, and there's Carlos Del Junco standing right next to me. I'm like, oh, hey, Carlos, how you doing, buddy?
Sign something.
Oh, yeah, I got his signature, his picture, and all the whole deal. But he seemed very unimpressed with Magic Dick.
Yeah? Well, is Magic Dick really all that phenomenal? I wouldn't say so. I mean, he was just popular in his day.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net.
Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasborowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense.
Shantoon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at Shantoon.com, Shontoon.com.
If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit omsentertainment.com.
WDIR, Windsor, Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive. That's right, the local dive in Tecumseh. WDIR, broadcasting live at the Dive. Check out WDIR.net.
Okay, so yeah, we're still talking about acoustic instruments on the show today, and Big JD and Lipo in the morning on WDIR. Some other acoustic instruments, again, stringed, the mandolin. Very nice sounding instrument. You ever play a mandolin before?
I have played a mandolin, yes. Mm-hmm. It's another, it's like a 12-string guitar. That's why I look at it.
Okay, well, fancy cell phone ring there. Let Lippo take his call. And we'll listen to some Andy McKee. Why not? Art of Motion from his Dreamcatcher CD on WDIR.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, melting your face as you listen to amazing radio.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
That's right, Quotes and Quips on Big Jitty and Lipo in the Morning.
Is it going to be acoustically related?
It is acoustically related, and it comes from Marshall McLuhan. Now, you know who that is.
He's an author.
Well, tell me you don't.
No, he's an actor.
Canadian communications theorist, educator, writer, and social reformer.
He's a smart guy then.
Yeah. And he's got a pretty smart quote here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Acoustic space has the basic character of a sphere whose focus or center is simultaneously everywhere and whose margin is nowhere.
Margin is nowhere?
Yeah. Sounds smart.
Sure does.
Just because we can't figure it out.
Is he trying to blind us with garble?
It's everything's obscured now.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. So the environment is a sphere? Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, I'm going to go through this one more time, and we'll break that down for you.
Break it down!
The whole thing boils down. Acoustic space has the basic character of a sphere whose focus or center is simultaneously everywhere, so it's everywhere at once, and whose margin is nowhere.
Okay.
So it's everywhere, but its margin is nowhere. So there's no limit. No line to what?
There's no exactly. There's no line to the end of it to get to a certain point. So there's no space in between where the sound stops and something else
and resonates forever and pushing its emerging its resonance into the cosmos.
You got a little smoke coming out from behind your headphones there, brother.
I'm on fire. Yeah, so anyway, that's what he says.
One more time.
Acoustic space has the basic character of a sphere whose focus or center is simultaneously everywhere and whose margin is nowhere.
Okay, the acoustic space, that is the actual noun that we're talking about. That's the subject of this sentence, is the acoustic space. So it could be a studio, could be outdoors, could be in your bathroom, could be in the shower.
But has the basic character of a sphere whose focus or center is simultaneously everywhere. A sphere. Where the focus is on everything and whose margin is nowhere, though.
Right.
So the focus is on everything and there's no margin. So.
You seem like.
One more time.
No. One more time. We got to say goodbye, don't we?
We do have to say goodbye. This wraps up the acoustic show. And you can join us here next week for more fun.
More fun on the Big JD and Lipo in the Morning show. Do we know what we're going to talk about?
No, we don't.
Okay.
But maybe, why don't we do the word show?
The word show it is.
All right. And that's and not just a word show, but it's something. What is it? Quick.
The Fantastic Word Show. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
We hope you have a great day and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place for Big JD and Lipo in the Morning.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit four on the floor.ca. Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients. Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty.
I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option.
If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.